Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We've got a special guest here to talk to. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in this world right now that we all are touched by and that we're all basically trying to navigate. And this guy, you might know him as the tough love given guy that you watch on Bar Rescue, but John Taffer's much more than that. And I'm assuming that his job is going to be a lot more difficult here coming out of this thing than it was the last few years. So let's welcome John Taffer of Bar Rescue. John, thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you're doing all right tonight.
I am. I'm on day 67 at my house here in Las Vegas.
67.
Yep, day 67. But getting ready to, you know, everybody's getting ready to open up, and you know, sort of, it's an exciting time right now. If you really think about the fact that things are starting to loosen, they're starting to open up, businesses are starting to figure this out, and I see, you know, albeit it's a silver lining, but I see some excitement right now. Are you feeling it a little?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've started to see maybe some movement in the direction that we are going to start to have things open up a lot. And, you know, it just is a matter of time now, but it's been a really long ride. And I know in your industry, boy, there's a lot of people and a lot of bar owners and things that are hurting. And, you know, they've basically been without their livelihoods. I know that you are, you know, in the bar rescuing business. What does this next step for you sort of look like when you try and, you know, give a lot of bar owners the guidance to get through this?
Well, first of all, I don't like when the media and everybody bunches restaurants and bars together. There's really a big difference. So bars have a much bigger challenge than restaurants do. Restaurants still have meal periods, and sure, they're down to 50% capacity, and there's a huge amount of challenges in the restaurant industry, no question, with delivery and curbside. But bars don't even have meal periods. Bars don't work if they're not packed and have a certain energy level with music and dynamics. So the bar industry is particularly challenged. And then when you take a look at things like live music venues, where they have to pack them in to justify their expenses, it becomes a very, very serious challenge. But really, that challenge is all across what I call LBEs, or location-based entertainment. I mean, bowling centers, concert venues, anything now that's location-based in the entertainment business is very challenged right now.
There's no question about it. I mean, I think the big thing, John, that I see, a lot of places even that aren't used to or really aren't takeout places, you know, here in Pennsylvania, they've been allowed to do takeout. It's been really difficult for them to sort of transition into, you know, how do you sell takeout when you're not really a takeout place?
Well, you're exactly right. You know, pizza restaurants know how to do that for a living. Asian restaurants know how to do that for a living. It's tough when you're not in that business. So now you have to figure out how to run a kitchen profitably that way. And you know what's interesting is you can serve 100 lunches in an hour within your restaurant, but you can't deliver 100 lunches in an hour. So it's a whole different business model, and you're exactly right. They're very challenged in trying to figure it out. Also, let's face it, very few are making money in the delivery business. At best, we're sustaining ourselves right now.
Yeah, that's tough. I think that's the toughest thing. And when you talk about bars and even kind of restaurants that are hit hard by this, because they rely on, you know, the people being in there and the energy in the crowd. I mean, one thing that, you know, we see a lot on your show are sports bars. Obviously, there's no sports, but also if you don't have anything to put on TVs and people aren't allowed to, you know, able to come in to watch them anyway, that's going to be a real challenge for those kinds of venues to reopen. And, you know, one of the things that you always seem to say on your show is that it's tough to make a sports bar go anyway.
It is. You know, sports are only about 80 days a year. You know, playoff games, finals, things like that. Sports don't fill a bar every day. So we still got to fill a bar another 250 days a year or so, separate of when there's live sporting events. But I think there's a little excitement here. Sports is starting up. The NHL is now in discussions that they're going to start training. The NFL started training. So I think that when sports comes back, many more people are going to become engaged in it. So since we're not going to be able to go to the arena, I think the television viewership and sports bar viewership will go up. Now, we don't have it yet, but I'm sensing when sports comes back, it's going to come back big.
Yeah, there's no question. John, one of the things that I don't think people a lot know about you is that you had a lot to do with, or at least had a hand in the Sunday ticket, right? I mean, that was something that sort of been something you really worked hard on, right?
I did. We actually created the NFL Sunday ticket concept, or I did, back in the mid-90s, and was very instrumental in creating the original format and all of that. So I was very involved in that business. But it's a different business today. There's a lot of opportunity with sports programming today and multiple viewing windows. And so what the challenge now for the leagues is, how can they make watching on television even more entertaining than it used to be? And I think we're going to see a lot of that. We're going to see digital enhancements so you can follow the ball better. We're going to see split screens and different camera angles. Some systems are even going to allow you to bet on sports in real time while you watch it. So sports programming is really evolving now to the next level, and I think the pandemic is just accelerating it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. It's you're going to have to find ways to televise sports better too, because there's no fans. I mean, that's a part of the ambiance, or whatever you want to call it, the atmosphere for bars and things. So what's the next step for you now? I mean, are you shooting more episodes when you come out of this? Is there going to be a whole season, you know, basically based on you helping and rescuing, you know, restaurants bars that were hit hard by this?
Absolutely. You know, it's almost more important work now than it used to be. And, you know, we have an opportunity now to rescue famous venues that closed, that didn't make it. And, you know, a lot of these venues, restaurants or bars, they're spending so much money sustaining themselves during this time that I just hope they have the money to open properly when this ends. And at Bar Rescue and through our TV work, we can help, you know, a bunch of those that didn't make it reopen again. That's important work. But, you know, it's up to the customers as much as it is to the bar and restaurant owners. I believe that bar and restaurant owners are going to get this right. They're going to sanitize, wash their hands, clean their surfaces, put their employees in masks. They're going to get it right. The issue is, really, do the customers get it right? Because if the customers are irresponsible and stand next to each other and don't wear masks, then more customers won't come to that bar or restaurant. So I think we're in this together, and I think it's as much a responsibility for the customers to make it work in their behavior as the bars do.
There's no question. Now, the city you live in out there, Vegas, I mean, clearly, you know, there are some cities that probably have been hit harder than others just because of the nature of the industries and things of the such. I mean, with the casinos and the bars and the restaurants and the entertainment and all the stuff that's out there, I mean, that city, it faces a long road back, doesn't it?
It does. We've been decimated here. You know, this is our only industry here in Las Vegas. We don't have farming. We don't have other manufacturing. We don't have that diversified economy. So tourism and gaming is our economy. So right now, if you drive down the strips, the largest hotels in the world are boarded up. The entire strip is closed. Now, we're going to open in a couple of weeks, and it's an exciting time, but opening is going to be very different. Customers are going to be separated. There's going to be barriers between gaming machines. Some gaming machines might use foot pedals instead of levers now. Some might use phones. We interact with the slot machine without touching the machine. So it's going to be very, very different. But Vegas is very good at this. Nobody feeds more and deals with more tourists than we do. So we'll get it right. The question is, again, do people come? And how long does it take us to really transition back?
Yeah, we're talking with John Taffer of Bar Rescue. John, just a couple more minutes. I'd be remiss if we didn't ask some of the questions about the show, because people love the show. I mean, especially in a town like Pittsburgh, people love the show. And I get a lot of questions about one of them is, you know, when you start the Bar Rescue show, it's always kind of fun to watch. Because you get into these people pretty good. What's the feedback you get, like, live, you know what I mean, on you know, right when it's happening, when you start to get into these owners? Do some of them not like it and not take it so well? Or, I mean, do they understand it's a part of it?
Well, some do, some don't, honestly. Some don't want to come back the next day. and, you know, they're faced with either coming back or having their business close. So they're sort of forced into coming back. You know, the show is real. I get about a 60-second briefing before I go in and start recon in my SUV. And what happens surprises me as much as it surprises you. I have no advance look. I've never met them before. I've never been in a bar before. And I think the reason why the show is so successful is because I'm not ahead of the audience. That you learn what I do. We're in this together. So it's as real can be. And I think people know that. They sense it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a couple of my favorite episodes are the one with a horse in a bar. I mean, when I watch that one, I laugh. The other one that I always laugh about is the guy that was trying to do a hookah bar in Nebraska. There's been a number of them. You know, of course, there's been a few where there's some brawls have broken out. But are there a couple that's, I mean, the pirate bar, obviously. But what are some of the ones that stand out to you?
Well, you know, the ones that stand out to me are either the worst or the best. Now, the worst, like the pirate bar is a great example, or the headhunters, or, you know, had a class 5 infestation, you know, bugs walked across my wife's feet. So those are the toughest to shoot, but they're the best episodes when you're done. But, you know, it's funny, you mentioned horse comes into the bar. That bar is hugely successful today. That was about 6 years ago. And the family is hugely successful. They paid off the bank loan. And, you know, that's a wonderful Bar Rescue success story. The hookah bar, I don't think worked out so well, though.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that that people really love about the show is your tough love approach. I'm assuming that that's either how you were raised or how you've sort of come up, right? I mean, that you came up with the tough love and it works. And I think the key to it is the fact that if you get through that first segment, you know, or first two segments where you go, I mean, it's pretty clear that you are trying really to help these people as well.
Oh, I am. And, you know, sometimes the owner can be a real jerk. So I'm doing it for the owner's wife, or I'm doing it for the employees, or I'm doing it for the town. And people sometimes put on social media, why did you rescue that guy? He's such a jerk. Well, the answer is he's got kids. He's got a wife. He's got a family. People work there. So sometimes my justification in my own mind for rescuing the bar isn't the owner at all. It's somebody else, because the owner almost isn't worthy. But I am fighting for them. And think about it. When I get there, they tell me they've lost their house. They're in debt, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They don't have money to send their kids to college, and they're going to close in 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm accepting a pretty darn big responsibility when I show up. I'm their last chance. So I take that very seriously. Then think about the fact that I only have 3 days. So their life is on the line. I take this very seriously, and I only have 3 days. Well, that's where the anger and the frustration comes from, because I have to push to get there in 3 days. So it's not easy.
How do you get the bar, you know, basically made over and, you know, redone and all that construction in like 24 hours? That's one of the great mysteries of all time.
Well, we actually do it in 36 hours. We do. And, you know, I've never been in a bar before. I have a wonderful team that travels with me. But, you know, they follow my direction and my design. So what people don't know is at the end of recon, when the cameras are off, I go in and I design the bar that night. And so the next day, which is day 2, when we shoot stress tests and such, I'm signing off on bar stools and wallpaper and paint colors and tabletops and decor. And I really have to design that bar. And nobody sees that on camera. You see a shot or two. But day 2, we have to plan everything, order everything. The third, by the end of the second day, I have to have the logo to the sign makers, all the furniture ordered, everything. This is within hours. And then the third day, everything arrives, and we remodel that night, and we reveal it to them on the fourth day. And that's the bar rescue cycle. It's never any longer. And if we don't do it in 36 hours, we do it in 38 hours, but never much more than that.
Well, do you have like relationships with a lot of these owners after, you know, the fact? I mean, do you maintain relationships with some of them?
Oh, absolutely. And in many cases, very close relationships. For example, Spirits on Bourbon, Brad Bohannon and Steve Smith, I was FaceTiming with their children for graduation yesterday, for graduation weekend. So you bet. I have very close relationships with some of them.
Last one for you, John. I was looking on your website because I wasn't sure. I wanted to make sure I had it right, but I don't know that you've ever done one here in Pittsburgh. And so we've got thousands of bars here, and lots of them could use your help.
Yes, you do. You know, it's funny. As a consultant years ago, I used to work with Eaton Park in Pittsburgh, which is a great company, you know, and a very charitable company. And I love Pittsburgh, so I hope I get to come there soon.
Absolutely. Well, hey, John, I really appreciate you taking some time, and we really look forward to the next season. When is the next season starting? Do you have a date?
Well, we're not sure. The pandemic sort of screwed us all up because we were in the middle of producing this season, so some of the episodes aren't even made yet. So I'm guessing we'll make an announcement in the next few weeks, but we don't have any dates yet.
Hey, John, thank you so much for joining me, man.
My pleasure. Take care, buddy.
All right, I appreciate it. That's John Taffer of Bar Rescue. Hopefully a little different approach that we usually have, and we do it. We had a good time, and we will be back. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.